right here in my sad frowny face.
Really?
Yeah.
So I've been noticing like this right here, right? Is getting more and more. It's getting more and more defined.
Because they call those they call those marionette lines.
Oh my god, that is so offensive. Because like now I would moves my lips and stuff. And I've been like, oh my god, that's new. And I was like, well, what is that? And it turns out it's just an old person. It's an old person face. I'm just getting old people things happening to me.
So the lucky for us, here's the thing. Plus side of having a chubby face is that you look young, right? Mm-hmm. Like you look young. For the most part, nobody would believe that you're 40, almost 41.
I don't know. I don't know why we keep bringing up the age, but yes. I got carded recently.
Ooh, was it out of obligation?
No, I was buying heroin and needed to know.
So the nice thing about having chubby cheeks is that you always look youthful, but the downside is that at some point gravity does take its toll and it starts to shift these fuckers down. And when it starts to shift it down, you get these yucky marionette lines. And then on top of that, as you know, we already have resting bitch, like resting sad face from our mother. Mm-hmm. And so I already had like kind of a downturned mouth and now it's getting worse. And so I got some Botox right here at the edge of my lips at the bottom by my chin. I had some Botox here. I got some by my eyes. I got some on my forehead yesterday. But it is it's not doing anything until a week from now.
Oh, really? I was going to say you look lovely, but then I noticed that. There's barely any light in your room.
There's no light. I've turned my office into a very zen space. I've got this candles situation behind me. Mm-hmm. It smells really nice in here. As you know, there's a day bed in this room as well. So I've been just like listening to slow music and reading in here. I don't know.
While you wait for the resting hangdog face to reverse.
Anybody who comes in here is going to be like, why are you so sad? You're going to be like, it's just my face. Anyway. So that's going to happen. And then, you know, you've got some pretty, it's weird for me to say this, but you've got some shapely lips.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they've been always very shapely. They're like upside down, I think. If you look at my lips, they really are. Like the top lip should be really my bottom lip.
That's good.
They're juicy, though.
They are juicy, but you know what else is going to happen is when the jowls pull down, they're also going to pull down with it your top lip, and it's just going to curl under.
Is it really?
The worst. Yeah.
It really is.
What if you got some lip injections?
I don't need them yet. Maybe down the line.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, down the line, I don't see
I got carded recently. I'm telling you.
Well, that was only because of the heroin.
That's true. I got carded in the same week that I hurt my hips. My hips. That is officially an injury that I now sustain our hips. And is you know, bruised? From what? From no, it wasn't. I'll send you pics. I'll DM you pics.
I don't want it.
No, it was just from running. I ran. I played football after like 3 months. I felt really good. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up on Monday morning and I was like, this is a new pain. And it's a pain on both sides. And I was like, my hips are hurting.
Okay.
My actual hips are
hurting. Somebody from an inside source on the field said that you actually got hurt because you fell on your butt.
That was, first of all, I play football on Sunday.
Okay.
And then I play basketball on Wednesday. Wednesday, mm-hmm. I actually broke my butt, I think, a little bit. I just tripped over my feet and I didn't have anything to like brace my fall. And I felt right on the side.
Oh, man. So you already had the hip pain. And then on top of that, you broke your butt.
I thought I broke my butt. But I went to my stretch session today. And we found that the pain was actually in the glute. In the glute muscle. So
okay,
he went to town on my glute.
Okay.
With the gun and the stretching. It was amazing.
Okay. I recently saw a video on TikTok. And I was like, I don't think this is safe for work. There was a man on his stomach and it was like a, you know, one of those, have you seen the chiropractor videos on TikTok?
Yeah, where they're like,
they're
pop
so
the,
funny. Yeah. They're like, all right, one, two. And then they like smash the person's back. Right. Anyway, this person was a part, the patient was laying on their stomach, and the service provider had their hand like in their crack, and it looked like they were like really like anchoring from their butthole. And they were literally popping their butthole. Like popping the gas. Is that what happened to you?
No, it's not what happened. I mean, he would just, he went to town on the side of my butt with a Theragun. So lots of pulsating, lots of sensation in places that it, I've never felt sensation before. And then he stretched me out real good.
Is the stretch lab like basically like going to the chiropractor?
I think pretty much. I think it's just, you know, it feels like I've only,
No, because when you get a massage, you're naked.
Yeah, it's not a massage.
Okay.
You just, it's just like active stretching. So you have to, it feels, so I wear like workout clothes, which is so silly. Like I wear like my leggings and stuff because I want
to. Well, you're not going to wear like a suit. What else are you going to wear?
I don't know. Yeah. But it's very good. But it feels, I've only been to the chiropractor once, and that was for my back, and then he made it worse. But this is just like every week I just go in and somebody stretches me out. It feels real good.
I think I'd like that.
You'd love it. You'd love this location too, because they play like, they have a really good playlist. Today was all, of course, all Usher. Because
of course. Yeah. I think I need a good stretching of like my neck and my shoulders, because that's where I carry most of my tension.
Yeah, that's where we all carry most of our tensions. Yeah. And it's real good to get that work done.
Well, thanks for not making me feel special at all.
I mean, it's a, the number one place where people carry their tension is the shoulders.
All right. Whatever. Anyway, did you watch the Grammys last week?
I did not watch any of it. No, I have not. I no have highlights. Heard
nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. I haven't watched. I've read, like, I saw like news stories about it after the fact. So like I saw something about like obviously Taylor Swift won, I think, the most Grammys or something. Yeah. And it was something with her and Celine, I think. We'll talk about that. And something with Jay-Z. And I think those were the main things, right? Was there anything? Is there something about like Miley Cyrus's, I don't know, Miley Cyrus's outfit kept coming up for some reason.
So hot.
I think that was it.
You didn't watch the Tracy Chapman performance?
No.
Oh my God. She came back to the stage after like 30 years. And she sang Fast Cars with Fast Car with Luke Combs, who is a country star. And I guess Luke Combs did a cover of Fast Car that like went viral a little while ago. And then so she came up. And real, first of all, what a delight. She starts, as soon as she starts singing, the crowd goes crazy, and the smile on her face, it's just angelic.
Okay, I'm going to watch that tonight. So here's the thing. I have, you don't know this. I have recently started listening to country music
a little bit.
I'm not proud of myself. And, but it's just, you know, I just turn on a song that I know, and then I just let the playlist do its thing. And that cover came up recently, the Fast Cars, Fast Car cover. And I was all upset. I was like, wait, this is a Tracy Chapman song. I don't know if this should be a country song. But if they performed it together, that means that he has her blessing. And I will watch the shit out of that.
And he is like also so lovely singing with her. And you could just tell that he's just like really feels a very like lucky to be up there on stage with her. Like he's really it's just like a beautiful performance. I'm thinking about it right now. It's making me emotional because that song, that's a song that like makes every playlist for me.
Every it's time it's on, you're just like, of course. It's just,
of course.
You never skip it.
No, right? it's just the first song I learned on the guitar.
No.
Also, the first song I forgot on the guitar. what a song. Yeah. She also had the other song in her second album that like really got
it was popular.
You gotta be is that her?
You gotta be bit no.
No, that's not her. Although that song is really good too. Yeah. No, she had a song.
It was big. Give me one reason. Give me one reason.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's another one.
Turn around.
So good.
The winter of 1995, the pop hits from that winter.
They should have stopped making music.
Should have. Yeah. All you need is the Alanis Morissette album, the Jewel album, and a one sweet day. That's all you need. You get through life.
That is it. That's it. Also, I listened to her album this week, like all week while I was working. I was listening to Tracy Chapman's like first album. It's from 1988, and like all of the songs slap because they're all like the message is amazing. One is called "Do You Hear the Sound of of a Revolution?" Or yeah, "Whispers of a Revolution" or something. There's another one called "Behind These Walls." Like the lyrics are like, "I could call the cops, but they'll probably come late if at all." Like, really? 1988. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. It's almost as if black people have had it rough the entire time. Who knew?
It's almost as if we should be listening to them this whole time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh boy.
So that was great. The other thing about the Grammys that happens to me every year is I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are. There's a gentleman, his name is Jelly Roll.
I do know who Jelly Roll is. That's the, because of course, it's country. Oh! It's country, right? No, but I know his backstory. His backstory is very, it's very moving.
Okay.
Because he started pretty late. His wife, he's very open about it. Him and his wife used to be a high-end escort. Yeah, and they talk about that all the time. And he's just like, you know, who would have imagined, right? He was just like, I was just a regular guy. My wife was a high-end escort. And here we are at the Grammys and stuff. So just hearing, because I think it was a couple of years ago, maybe, he won Best New Artist. And he's like, and his speech, I don't think it was at the Grammys. I think it may have been at like the Country Music Awards.
Okay.
And his speech was basically about, he's like, you are watching a 39-year-old win Best New Artist. And what that should tell you is that, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, whenever you want to start, whenever you want to go, just go. So it's really moving.
Also,
that guy's really nice.
Facial tattoos and a name called with Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Amazing. So I don't know anybody is something I learned. But I always come away with it listening to, like, new music. Like, Victoria Monet is a person who, like, I only heard in passing. But no the idea. Album is incredible. She has a line in one of her songs that says, in my bag like a grandma with a peppermint. Amazing! It's amazing. So good! So that was great. But then, so Jay-Z won like a, you know, one of those like whatever achievement honorary awards.
Lifetime achievement? Yeah.
One of those. And when he was up there, yeah, he was up there and he said, you know, I appreciate this, but like, I don't want to, he said something like, I don't want to embarrass this young lady out there, but you know, it is weird that people can win so many Grammys, but never win Artist of the Year. Like, I just don't understand the math here. And obviously he's talking about his wife, Beyonce. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he said that. And then he was like, he also said this stuff about like, you know, there's people who are out here who are going to, you're going to feel like you got robbed. Some people are actually going to get robbed. And some of you don't even deserve to be up here.
Oh, shit.
So good. And so. So that happened. And then, of course, later on at the end of the night, Taylor Swift wins Artist of the Year. She is now the person to win the most artist or album of the year, not artist of the year. Mm-hmm. One that won most. She's won four now. And so she's like broken some sort of record. And so obviously the internet being as like, especially Swifties, just being the worst. Here's the thing I figured out about Taylor Swift that really pisses me off. I don't even think it's totally Taylor. It's her fans. They have made things insufferable. So everybody on the internet started being like, Jay-Z is throwing a temper tantrum because Taylor Swift won. I'm like, well, no. Those two things have like literally nothing to do with each other. You're taking a black man who we know is talking to an institution that only recently started even recognizing certain kinds of music. They only recently started recognizing hip hop. He's up there and he's talking about the fact that there's obviously an issue here where your math is not mathing and we don't know the reason for why people win whatever awards they win because it seems like it's on a whim, right? And and I think there is some sort of a voting process here, but it's like we know that systems like this are that have existed for a long time are likely built in a way that will always support white supremacy. So we like there might be, and I don't know, like I don't know anything about the voting or how it works or anything. I don't understand anything about it, but I think it makes sense that somebody like Jay-Z is going to use his time and his platform to be like, hey, thanks, but there's still a problem here. Like, thanks for giving me mm-hmm. this, but like your system is fucked.
I think so. I don't, you know, obviously the thing is we live in a place, we live in a time where white supremacy obviously exists. So there's a part of that in kind of every system, you know, yeah. in kind of every structure. I think the issue with the Grammys is probably the same issue with the Oscars, which is that, you know, what is that? The recording, like RIA.
Academy or something.
The
yeah.
Academy, right? Same thing with the Oscars, right? So the members of the Academy, of both of these academies, I believe are people that have been in the industry, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at the music industry, usually music is, the popular music is done by young people.
Yeah.
But those members of the academies have been there from like the 30s and the 40s and the 50s yeah. and the 60s yeah. and stuff like that, right? So the reason why popular music doesn't get noticed a lot, I think, well, I mean, it's weird to say that, you know, at the same time that we're saying Taylor Swift has won 4 Album yeah. of the Year awards, but I think it is because there are older voters. There are older yeah. voters that don't listen to the music, and it's like, well, should you really have a vote? It's the same thing with the Academy Awards. Like, they'll vote for people that they know. They won't yeah. watch all the movies and stuff like that, right? So it's like yeah. there should be some sort of test for this stuff, because again, I think Eminem talked about this. A lot of rappers have talked about this in the past. It's like the Grammys have like this grand party, and they advertise these shows by talking about all the popular people, all the popular young people that are going to be there because they want to draw an audience. But yep. when it comes time for the awards, they always give the awards to established people, to old people, yeah. things like
yeah.
that. Somebody like Beyonce, even though the fact that Beyonce doesn't have an Album of the Year award is just stupid. Like, that's yeah. just dumb mm-hmm. because she is as established as any artist ever.
Yeah.
And the fact that she doesn't, you know, that's where Jay-Z's complaint is very valid. It's yeah. because Beyonce could have just been a popular musician, but she also chose to have a message, and she's not like afraid to talk about that message. She's very upfront about it. Right. Like,
yeah.
And that's what people just keep getting like, you know, surprised by for whatever reason.
Yeah. And I think also the thing is that ultimately we know this is that a lot of pop culture, most of pop culture, and especially right now, is highly influenced by Black culture. Like, everything that is cool is all Black culture. Like, it's all they all come up with like Black culture, and then it becomes like packaged and whitewashed in a way where somebody yeah. a white person gets to carry it and make it their whole thing.
And basically everything that has been popular, honestly, like anything that has been cool in the culture since like the 40s and the 50s started in America, has started off as an African-American art form, right?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. jazz, rock and roll, and then, you know, yeah. soul music. And then, so you see like the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, you know, people talk about them as the biggest rock and roll groups of all time. And they are, right?
Yeah.
But if you listen to who they were influenced by, they're all these old African-American blues singers and rockers yeah. and stuff like that, right? So, yeah, that's always been true.
Elvis literally stole their whole shtick. Yeah. He took the whole thing.
Yes.
Like, even boy bands in the 90s, if you listen to the kind of music they're singing and the way that mm-hmm. they're crooning, it is all taken from, like, Boys to Men and, like, R&B groups. And Yeah.
So, you know, remember New Kids on the Block? That was yeah. the thing about New Kids on the Block, right? They were like this white group that got really, really popular. But yeah. It was Blackstreet, I believe, was the one before them, right? It was Whitney Houston's husband, Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
His group was around like a couple of years before. So basically mm-hmm. what they do is they just take that formula, they throw in some white kids on it, mm-hmm. and then that's it. And then it just gets popular.
Yeah. So that happened. And then, of course,
that's
yeah.
not to say, of course, obviously, there are some great white artists.
I don't think white people need, we don't need to meet two brown people on a podcast that is casually listened to are not the ones that need to be giving flowers to white people. Okay.
Have you heard The Gambler by Kenny Rogers? It's very good. It's on my country playlist. On the cold anyway. Stretch of the heart.
Right. All right. So Taylor Swift wins Artist of the Year. Very exciting. The person who is presenting the award is, of course, our queen, our diva, Celine Dion.
Number one. Right? Forever.
Number one. Forever. Love her so much. So she came in. And, of course, it was like a huge deal. Everybody was so excited because she's been really sick. And I doubt that she's ever, like, we don't think that she's ever going to perform again. And so it was a really big deal. She was up there. And so Taylor Swift, she wins Artist Album of the Year. She does her I'm So Shocked, whatever, cutesy girl thing. She goes up there and she just kind of like grabs the award from Celine and then says thank you to a whole bunch of other people. But she's not like, oh my God, Celine Dion. Like she's not, it's all about like, and it's just a very, she fucked up, right? Like she obviously fucked that up. Mm-hmm. And then she goes back to, and of course the whole internet is like, does this bitch just fucking snub Celine Dion? And so her people, because you know Taylor's got the best people.
Yep.
Publicity immediately on it. Like 20 minutes later, there's a picture of Taylor hugging Celine and from backstage that like is all over the internet, right? Just like, yep. And it's like, when you see shit like that, you're like, how do you not understand how this machine works? Like, how are you still denying that there is a machine, right? And the funniest thing that came out of that was like the next morning, Monday morning, all these fucking Swiftie TikTokers and Instagram and Twitter accounts and stuff are like, you know, it's actually because Celine has an autoimmune disease and she's a hypochondriac. So that's why Taylor didn't hug her, because she was actually worried about her. She wanted to get Taylor wanted to get Celine's consent. That's why she didn't hug her. It's like there's all these like excuses. And here's the thing about Taylor Swift. Okay. If Taylor Swift leaned into being a full-on fucking villain, I think I would love her. But it is the fact that she acts like everybody's best friend that I'm like, I can't stand you. Like, that's the part about her that really bothers me, because when she acts like she's everybody's best friend, she feeds into these, like, dummies who, like, worship this, like, beautiful, beautiful white woman. And then she capitalizes off it. So, like, to some degree, she's a genius for capitalizing off of this way that they like infantilize her. And then, but she's also a monster for it. But I'm like, just lean into being the monster. Like, I want you to lean into being a full villain instead of being like functioning in a way that's like, you're still a 17-year-old with a MySpace account. Like, I think that's what bothers me about her.
No. So, you know, that's, you know, when Taylor had her dip, right? When she tried to just, I guess, be a full on villain with that Reputation album. It didn't work because she really didn't put her heart into it, right? Though that's the one thing, like, you know, I like Taylor Swift's music, which is an unfortunate fact that has been revealed many times on this podcast. But she is 100% complicit in everything about her, in every single narrative about her, and because she just knows how to play the game. And I feel like Taylor Swift right now, she's bigger than she was in, like, you know, like 2014, 2015. But
totally,
that's, you know, as far as her reputation goes, like her, you know, big reputation, I think that's where she is again. And what I think is probably going to happen that's going to make people feel, I don't know, I think people want to see her come down a little bit. And I don't know what that is. The last time it was that Kim and Kanye thing, right? That was a thing that kind of motivated the fall. And then she built herself back up again, and that's when I got on the train, back on the train when Coco came out.
Choo choo,
choo choo. But like, you know, the I was watching. What was I watching recently? I was thinking. So like in 2022, she did SNL. She was a musical guest on SNL, and she did the 10-minute version of that song, All Too Well, right? The Jake Gyllenhaal song.
Yeah.
And in the background, she was showing the video that she directed that was very clearly about Jake Gyllenhaal, right?
Yeah.
And in that moment, you're like, well, this is the most Taylor Swift moment of all time, right?
Yeah.
It's like she is on the SNL Christmas show. She gave herself 10 minutes. She publicly displayed this whole story that you know is going to generate a lot of conversation on Twitter, right? She does all this stuff. And the most important part is the song and the performance is amazing, because at the end of the day, she is a very talented person, right? So I think that's who Taylor Swift is. Completely complicit not a normal person at all.
No.
And that's what she needs to lean into. She just be like, I am not a normal person. I am either better than you or, you know, this is just how I live my life. But I don't know how she does that. How do you do that if you are in her position? Like, are you rude to people? What do you
do? I don't know, because like the thing is that she also is like, I think she is kind of like a weirdo. Like, she is a weirdo because So she announced a new album. It's gonna be called Real. You saw the name of the album?
I have not.
It's The Tortured Poets Department.
Oh, come on. Taylor, okay. I'm trying.
Okay. So here's the other part. You know, Vanity Fair or Vogue or whatever does this like artists on artists thing where like they sit and they like interview each other. So Andrew Scott, I think is her name, the guy from Fleabag. Mm-hmm. Him and Paul Mescal were recently in a movie together, and Joe Alwyn, who is Taylor Swift's ex-boyfriend, were also together in a movie, and they're all like Scottish or UK actors, right? So in that, like, what is this? Like asking each other questions about, like, they're playing like a version of the Newlywed Game, but it's just Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott. Yeah. And the question is, what is the name of the group chat that Paul is in with Joe Alwyn, right? Okay. And Andrew Scott goes, oh yeah, it's the Tortured Guys Club.
Oh my God.
And like, and this is a passing clip. Literally a passing clip. And even in the video, they're in the clip, they're like, it has like four messages. Like, they're laughing about it. They're like, it's literally nothing, right? But like 6 weeks later, this bitch announces during the Grammys that she's gonna make a new album called The Tortured Poets Department. And it's like, it's psycho. Like, it's so weird, but it's almost like, so you are that person. You are this petty psychopath, right? But you
100% are also online all the time.
A deeply online person. And as a chronically online person myself, who is also very petty and spiteful and vindictive, I kind of respect it. Like, I'm like, yeah, you're leaning into how crazy you are, right? But then, like, her whole thing is also like bubblegums and rainbows and friendship bracelets at her concerts. And it's like, and I saw this. So I saw this tweet and I thought it was so good. It's by Lovie Jones, a Black author. And she said this, and I feel like this like really nailed it for me. It was, the infantilizing that people do with Taylor Swift is fascinating to me. Every time we lobby a critique, folks act like someone is bullying a defenseless 14-year-old. Taylor is 34 grown years old. She is treated like a Disney princess, a damsel in distress, and that in itself is a privilege very few women are afforded. I think Taylor is a genius because she plays into this and it allows her to be protected beyond. It's intentional. It's strategic. It's part of her brand identity, and she revels in it. It's why every time she wins an award, she gets on stage and acts like she just got surprised with her favorite doll at Christmas. We talk about systems upholded by patriarchy, but weaponized femininity is a thing, and Taylor is the matron saint. Like, that nails it. I think that's it.
Now, weaponized femininity, right? By the way, that's an incredible tweet, right?
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking about, well, weaponized femininity, is that something that somebody like me can comment on, right? Because now I'm thinking of like, okay, so, you know, there's this whole like MAGA versus Taylor Swift thing going on right now.
Well,
right?
Here's the thing. I could hate Taylor Swift, but I would love anybody who is anti-MAGA. Uh-huh. Like, anybody who ruffles a MAGA feather, I'm like, yeah, they're fine. Who cares?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you can have two different conversations at the same time, right? Like, I think if you put up Taylor Swift in the realm of celebrity pop culture and all those things, it's a very easy case to make for her to be a villain, you know?
Yeah.
That's somebody that is very manipulative and all that stuff, right? In the grander scheme, like in actual culture, you know, somebody that using all of her infantilizing, using all of like the hero worship that she does, if she actually uses that for good, then it's like, you know, that's a good person then for me, right? Yeah. Overall, it's a good person. It's like Lance Armstrong.
I argue that I don't know how much good she's really using it for, right? Like, I think, again, like, I always say this. Yeah. Like, she has the power in her hands to change a lot of people's views about things. Like, you know, she took a stance, like, this was like 5-6 years ago when she decided to do like come out in full support of the LGBTQ community, and she put like, she had a very like queer centered song that came out during Pride, right? I think that was like great. But it's like, and that likely changed a lot of the people who listened to her, their minds about things, if not to completely be supportive of the LGBT community, but at least not hateful of them, right? Or like, it shifted the needle just slightly. And I think that she has this power because she does, she is the patron saint of like this weaponized femininity that specifically white women get to use against everyone. And I think that she has the power to do so many things. Like, you know, we were talking about like last week when we talked to Tom and Kix about like all these things that happen where Taylor Swift does stuff and then it becomes popular because she's doing it, but it actually came from a culture, typically from like Black culture. And she never takes the minute to say, no, actually, let's give credit where credit is due. Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, there's like that interview of him saying, I did not come up with the fade. And why, how dare you guys put that on me on the first week of Black History Month? Like, he was so funny about it, right? But Taylor, for somebody who is so chronically online, who is so in the know about everything everybody is saying, never takes a minute to like do that. And I think if she did, then I could be like, okay, I can see her being everybody's best friend. But she doesn't do that. And she does. Yeah. And then she also capitalizes on it. And it's just, that's the stuff that bothers me.
Yeah. I think basically what it comes down to is like, in certain instances, she just pretends like she is above having to comment on things, right?
Yeah.
All the while, she uses her albums and her videos and kind of everything else about her image to make people feel like, no, I'm not above anything. I am one of you.
Yeah.
I'm one of you. We're all just singing this song. I wrote it, but really, the song could be about any of us.
Yeah. It's totally about you, actually. Yeah.
Exactly. So I can understand why that's annoying. But finally, I think the final thing, and I'm sorry if this is going to upset you. One thing we have to recognize is she is an incredible songwriter and an artist. Like, her songs are amazing. They are.
They're fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't say every one of her songs is amazing.
Of course not. But she has, like, the fact that she's won 4 albums. But
listen,
year,
right? Folklore, I will be dead in the ground, okay? And I will still be listening to Folklore.
I'll play it at your funeral.
Perfect song, perfect album for my funeral, okay?
Exactly.
I, like, looked up the background of Last Great American Dynasty. It's fucking genius. Have you guys ever looked it up? She's singing a song about a woman that lives in the house that she lives in now. And the woman that used to live in – I'm, like, losing it. The woman that used to live in that house was critiqued for being too loud and having too many parties and being, like, a person who was, like, a social climber, which is, like, essentially what she's been – guys, just – it's amazing. So there's that part of it, right? It's just, I think, because she is so available in a way where she acts like she's a normie. I'm like, don't.
And – because, you know, when you talk about Taylor Swift now, I think her songs and her music, well, I guess it depends, right? I don't think they're the number one things that people think of. They think of the persona. They think about Travis Kelce. They think about, or they think about MAGA, or they think about, you know, Beyonce had the best video of all time. They think about all of that stuff. The music.
Yeah. And by the way, guys, Kanye West is still wrong. Like, let's just say, none of this validates anything Kanye did. Kanye is still a batshit crazy racist, and we should not be giving him any of our attention. Okay, so the Super Bowl is tomorrow. We are recording this on a Saturday night. Many of our listeners are listening to it right now. Maybe they're working out on a Sunday morning. They're getting excited. By the way, so many Niners fans listen to this.
Are there really?
That's awesome. I've got many bang bang Niner gang. Okay.
Yeah, buddy.
BBNG, okay? Very exciting.
But okay.
Bang Bang Niner Gang. I just did it.
I get it.
Very exciting. Are you nervous?
You know, it's the day before the game. It's been 2 weeks. I've obviously had a lot to think about.
You got your butthole stretched today.
Yeah, I got my butthole stretched today. I'm loose. I'm agile. I'm ready to go. You know, I have, obviously, once your team makes it to the Super Bowl, you have lots of thoughts. And then there's 2 weeks, right? So as a fan, I feel like I have done all the work. I have watched all the watched all the background videos, all the mic'd up videos. I've watched a Football Lives of Jerry Rice and Steve Young. I've watched history videos of Bill Walsh. Yeah, I've done, I feel like I have done all that I need to as a fan. So, you know, at this point, you're nervous, obviously, but you're also excited. You just want to get to the game. So I'm just, I am cautiously optimistic. The 49ers are favored in the game, but everybody is picking the Chiefs. And they're picking the Chiefs for obvious reasons, right? Because it is Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and they've won two. And they're really good. They're,
yeah,
they shouldn't be this good, but they keep being good, right? So a lot of people are picking the Chiefs. The storyline is going to turn into, like, the greatness of Patrick Mahomes versus my baby boy, Brock Purdy. Yeah. So that's a narrative right now. And as a 49ers fan and as a Brock Purdy fan, I love the kid. Like, I love him so much. because all he's done, like, think about it. I don't understand why people don't like him. Like, you just hear the story.
I don't think people dislike him. Why would anybody dislike him?
People call him a game manager because the 49ers have a lot of weapons, right? So they have Christian McCaffrey, they have Brandon Ayuk, they have Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. They have lots of talented players, right? Mm-hmm. So the thing about Brock Purdy that they say is, and you could plug in any quarterback into that system and they would be successful. Like, so you don't need to be that good. But if you think about this kid, all he did was, he was the last pick in the draft. He made it to the team. He took over when the first two quarterbacks went down last year. He won every single game that he played in until he was savagely injured by the Eagles in that playoff game.
Okay.
And he had to get surgery. And then he came back this year and he led the team to the Super Bowl. Like, how do you not root for that
story? And he's still teething. So, like,
and that's, he's still teething. Exactly. Have you seen all the Taylor Swift 13 stuff about the Super Bowl? So people are like, you know, Taylor Swift's favorite number is 13. The 49ers, 4 plus 9 is 13. The game is on 211. 2 plus 11 is 13. 100 minus 13 is 87, which is Travis Kelce's number. Taylor Swift has to take a flight from Tokyo to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. 13 hours. This will be the 13th game this season that she's going to attend, all this stuff. The thing that they forget to mention is Brock Purdy's number, 13. He looks like a 13-year-old.
I watched this clip that one of our listeners sent. And you know those, like, amazing clips of, like, football players and what they're dressed in, like, leading up to the games and stuff?
Yeah.
And so have the fit. And it's, like, amazing fits. Like, super cool. Like, nothing I could ever imagine putting together. Like, all these players. So cooler than cool, everything. And then the very last person to walk through the tunnel is Brock Purdy. And he's just, like, in khakis and, like, a polo.
So what they say about Brock Purdy's fit is that he looks like he shops at Kohl's.
Yeah, exactly. What's not to love? Well, I'm excited for you.
Thanks, buddy. That really means a lot to me.
I am obviously rooting for them.
I know. Thank you.
I know. And my kids' school, they did a Super Bowl event at the school for the last 2 weeks, which is where the kids donate soup cans and they get to put it into a Chiefs bucket or a 49ers bucket.
Ooh.
And my kids obviously did put it into the 49ers bucket.
Yes.
But unfortunately, there are more Chiefs soups.
Of course. A lot of people are picking the Chiefs, and I get that. And I am okay being in that position. I'm fine. You know, I'm cautiously, you know, if it doesn't happen. Yeah, the fact that I've waited 29 years and this is my favorite sports franchise of all time. And
relax with that. Nobody cares that you've waited.
It's starting
29.
To feel personal. They won like 5 months before we moved here, and they've never won since.
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that they won the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, they won in 95.
And then you came. Maybe you're the reason.
Maybe that's what I'm saying. It's starting to feel personal. Yeah.
What's the Tracy Chapman song that we just? No, the other one.
Give me one reason to stay here.
Yeah. Anyway, you want to talk about traitors?
The traitors. What a show, man! What a show.
The
It's so good every time.
Okay. As soon as it opened and we found out that Peter did not take the recruitment, the gasp that I gasped. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Were you surprised?
You were expecting him to take it? No, I knew that he wasn't going to take it. I like the role that he's playing on this show. No.
He's so self-righteous. I hate him for it. Like, you know what? Honestly, that's what you would do.
You know, one thing I turned on Peter for this week, and I had to, you know, find something. His necklace. His necklace and how he prominently displays it. I don't know what the necklace is. It's starting to bother me.
I don't know.
But he is. He is a little too self-righteous.
Apparently, when on his season of The Bachelor, he fucked somebody 4 times in a windmill.
What? Pilot Pete, really?
Yes.
In a windmill?
In a windmill? I didn't know that.
There was, 4 times?
I mean, 4 times.
This isn't like 4 different outings, right? It's one
no,
outing?
No, I don't know. Oh, apparently, I don't know. That's what the internet said. I was like, all right, good for you, Peter. Anyway, I was shocked, but I like this Peter versus Parvati matchup. I feel like I also feel some sexual tension there. I'm like, can you guys just kiss?
Parvati is just like, oh my God, I hate Peter. I can't get rid of Peter. And then she's like, I want Peter part of my team. Unfortunately for her, Peter only has eyes for Bergie.
No.
Peter, he's just like, I couldn't do that to Bergie. And I get it.
You would not. Poor Kevin. I bet Kevin thought he was going to be the one that he couldn't do it to. Because remember, like the first episode, Peter and Kevin were like, let's just pretend like we hate each other. And they were like, okay. And then they voted for each other at the round table. And everybody was like, all right, whatever. This is weird. I bet Kevin thinks that he's Peter's best friend. But Peter's best friend is actually Bergie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
They all come to breakfast. And Peter does not tell anybody that he was recruited yet. Mm-hmm. But then he has his gathering, his Peter Pals meeting, as Phaedra calls it. And I don't like it. I don't like the Peter Pal meetings. What do you like? It's too much.
It's too much and they're too small. I think they can start to go out and try to recruit some more people, right?
Yeah. Like, why isn't Sandra in there?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And then
Sandra or the Housewives.
Or the Housewives. Or like even MJ. What did MJ do?
MJ.
Or Kate.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Kate.
Yeah.
MJ tries. She waddles over there. She stands in the doorway.
You know, I'm not a fashionista by any means, but MJ's jeans, amazing. They were like almost like Janko jeans. And then she's like waddles first, and then she slowly backs away, and then she runs down the hallway.
Do you know MJ is? We know what show she's from.
Yeah, the Shahs, right? The
Shahs. Yeah, Shahs of Sunset.
I watched a couple of those. Oh, very Persian, entertaining.
Persian sister, Mercedes Javid is her name. Sandra, though, coming in hot with the billiards, the little billiards.
The balls?
It was so good. Kate was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, this is so good. And she really knows how to, you know, play the game.
She really does. Two things. Number one, I feel like Kate is like an audience member. She's so much fun. She laughs at all the ridiculous stuff. I just have such a great time with Kate. But the second thing is like, you know, that billiard, like she's like lining them up and it looks amazing and all. But at the end of the day, isn't it just, okay, they have 5 people and we have 7 people and we outnumber them. And she's doing like a whole thing. She's like, loved every minute of it.
I know, but it's also that goes to show how dumb everybody is because, you know, Sheree the whole time is like, I don't know what is happening on this show. She has no idea. So poor Sandra does have to like lay it out with her. And I like that CT is just hanging out with the housewives. Yeah.
By the way, CT, I don't know if you, I'm sure you have to talk.
Oh, we're going to get to it.
CT and Phaedra.
Oh, my God.
America's sweethearts. They're my favorite couple. Move over, Taylor and Travis. It's just...
I know. So yeah, so now it's the leftovers versus the most faithful of the faithful. They get to their mission. Sandra again cracked me up because he's like, put on your boots, we're going to the woods. And Sandra's like, oh, we gotta run around in the woods. and then when Alan is like, this forest is full of traps, Sheree goes, traps. So they're picking teams. And then CT looks at Phaedra and he goes, how you doing? I was like, oh my God. I would have fainted.
CT is the best. This is a we'll get to when we get to like the round table part. It reminded me. It reminded me of a CT thing from like 20 years ago. And I was like, oh, there you are. I love you.
What is it?
No, so, you know, we'll get to it.
So one of our listeners did tell me to look this thing up, and she says that every now and then she looks it up. And I want you to Google it later, too, because I just think it's so funny. Have you heard of the CT banana backpack?
Oh, I have. I remember that. Yes, it's amazing. He went full ape. It's incredible.
Like, I'm like, he's like a Greek god. Yeah, if you don't know what it is. During the challenge, they have a challenge where they're both strapped onto each other's backs and they have to basically, it's like tug of war, but backwards. And they have to get to one side. And so CT versus Johnny Bananas. And this man carries Johnny Bananas on his back like a backpack. Yeah. But the way he is grunting and stomping, I was like, I hate how attracted I am to this obviously toxic man. Like, it's so hot. It's incredible.
And the best part is, like, you see Johnny Bananas just kicking out his leg, just helpless. He can't do anything. He's trying to, like, get out of it. Can't do anything.
So good. So they play this game, and at some point, and Alan says something about, like, you know, you'll only be left with your dignity or something like that. And Kate goes, I'm losing more every day. At the end, these traps were wild.
I will say, you know that first question when they ask him the name of the forest?
Yeah.
It reminded me of like Dylan McDermott or Dermot Mulroney.
Yes! I can never tell them apart.
No.
I don't know. Yeah. The mud was fine, but if I got pulled up in those traps, I would have been like, I'm going home. Like, I would refuse to film any longer.
You could tell Phaedra was talking to the producers. She was like, I'm done. Get me down.
Yeah. She was like, all right, let's it. Now let's get me down. Mm-hmm. But the mission ends, and it's shields for Kevin and Sandra. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way that Peter and Trishelle think they're so good because they lost immediately.
Yeah.
Fuck those guys.
I think I'm turning on Peter. First the necklace.
So back at the castle, again, CT is being adorable as hell. They just cut to him walking around the house in armor that he found. It's so cute. But he does tell Peter that he's up for banishment. His name's being called. And then Peter's like annoying because he's doing the thing where he's pulling people aside and having conversation. And I think Phaedra played this so well to be like, I'm not getting involved in any of these side conversations. You're not going to see me having any side conversations with anybody. We're not wielding and dealing. But when Parvati and Peter were together in that room, I was like, if you two just kissed, just do it. There's so much sexual tension between them. But this is when Alan drops a twist. There's going to be a meeting in the river with the woods. There's not going to be a banishment at the round table. They're going to go in a circle, and then they're going to get to save a bunch of people, starting with Kevin and Sandra are going to get to pick one person to save, and then that person's going to save another. And at the end, it will lead with five people not being saved. And, you know, we talked about weaponizing femininity. And that fucking Trishelle, I swear to God, I hate her so much. I hate her.
She, it feels like the game means too much to her. I don't know what the hell's going on with her. She's like begging, like she's like, she literally thinks it's her life.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't go to sleep. The stress.
Like, okay. Also, by the way, they're doing a mission every single day. So I think that they're there for like 10 days. Relax, Trishelle. It's not that serious. But she's begging, and
92,500 on the line. Trishelle, yes! Relax.
Not even that much money. You could literally get that money with like one like poop tea ad on your Instagram or whatever. Exactly. Like, it's not that serious. But CT does not pick Trishelle, and I was like, why would he pick you, Trishelle? You don't even talk to him. You're in Peter's pals with John and Kevin and whatever and Bergie. Like, you're not even including CT in those conversations. So why would CT pick you? And then she's like, I thought we were turning a leaf. And mm-hmm. I thought that he was like a brother to me. I'm like, fuck off with your tears, lady.
So that's the thing. That's the thing that reminded me of CT 20 years ago. So one of the challenges, he was on with one of his cast members from Paris. I don't know. It was like the white lady. I don't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. And at some point, he was, because they were on the same team. And it was, I think that season, you had to send somebody to the gauntlet.
Yeah.
So at some point, I remember him sitting on the couch, and he just goes, yeah, we're just going to send you to the gauntlet.
He was awesome. I do know that clip. Yeah. I know that clip so well, because he also says gauntlet in like a really
gauntlet.
Funny.
Yeah. Gauntlet. Yeah. Gauntlet. We're sending you to the gauntlet. And that's what I was thinking about this time, because Trishelle's like breaking apart. She's just like, she can't take it. And he's just like, yeah, well, let's play the game. I don't get it.
True, because she is sobbing when they get back to the castle.
Yeah,
there's the people left on the block are Trishelle, MJ, Kate, Bergie, and Parvati. Parvati's a little butthurt hurt that Phaedra didn't save her. Phaedra gets emotional. She saves her castle daddy. CT is so like, sweet. Okay, CT's like, if she wants to light my fire, that's fine. And I was like, oh, I'll light your fire, CT. People on the internet are confused about why everybody thinks CT is so hot, but I think it's because they only know CT from the show. They don't know, like, 30 years of us just, like, just this hot, like, Neanderthal.
Yeah, but, like, I think this CT is probably hotter than the Neanderthal.
Well, it's because we're old. Well, we're old. You want to talk about jowls? CT's got jowls.
That's fine. But first of all, the eyes are still piercing. So oh, so you piercing. You can look at the jowls all you want to, right? I think he's got juicy lips too. He's very relaxed in his body. I think that's the reason why people find him so appealing. Like, he is just very relaxed with who he is. He's emotional when he's emotional, but he's just himself. I think that's the thing that's so attractive about him.
Also, I think, like, CT, the size of the man that he is would make you feel like a little baby. Yeah, and
CT cuddle just sounds amazing.
Like, as I say to my husband all the time, I'm an independent woman, but I'm also the baby. Like, I want to be – don't tell me what to do. Don't ever tell me what to do. Don't ever think – that I can't handle myself, but also be constantly worried about me.
Yeah. So, and this is why Taylor Swift is the way that she is. Because this is women.
So at the turret, it's Phaedra and Parvati. And Phaedra gives Parvati some very good advice, which is like, you're just not fucking likable, dude.
You're not very good. First of all, you're not very good. Nobody is buying it. Just mm-mm. whatever. Both times. In the beginning of the episode also, she's like, yeah, you're going to your last meal.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of talk that the producers have, because everybody's obviously figured out that it's Parvati and Phaedra, the producers feel, and because Peter didn't take the bait, the producers pulled this last like little thing together last minute so that they could like create some chaos. Because Peter gets saved. Yeah. You think so?
Well, I think they are, now that Dan is out, you know, I think Parvati being out is very obvious.
Yeah.
And it feels like they just need to extend the season somehow.
Yeah.
Like at the round table, I think Parvati probably would have been voted out, or maybe Peter would have been. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's possible that, like, I don't know. I feel like, so they're going to either murder Trishelle or MJ. I feel like it's going to end up being... Who do you think it's going to be?
I hope it's not MJ.
Trishelle, it's fine. I know. If it's Trishelle, who cares? She sucks. Yeah. Like, I think it should be Trishelle because we got to get somebody out from that group. Mm-hmm. And I think to Phaedra's point, it's like, okay, well, like, Phaedra was already part of, you know, the balls, the billiard balls. Think about it. What was your favorite part of this episode?
I think MJ's pants were... amazing. It was just really the parts of it that were really funny.
There was a cutaway scene. I also, you know, when they're pretending to go ahead, sorry.
There's also when Trishelle is like crying to CT and she's like, uh-huh. I don't understand, it just feels like you don't think I'm smart, I'm not smarter than John and things like that. And CT just goes, yeah, you know, I mean, that stuff may come up in the game.
funny. There's a cutaway scene, you know, like the fake scenes of them sleeping. There's a scene of Bergie
with the teddy bear.
Now listen to me, guys. Bergie apparently has a super hot girlfriend. Okay?
Makes sense. He's on TV.
Okay, but I am convinced that Bergie is built like a Ken doll. Like, I don't think he has genitals.
You don't think? You think he's aerodynamic?
Him and Tom Cruise. No genitals. Like, just like a sweet... He's a baby girl, as they say. That's a baby girl. You don't know what that means. Anyway, any other thoughts, Rio?
No. On the traitors?
Yeah.
Nothing. I just really liked Alan's hat also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It looked like a Scully, but it wasn't.
Well, last week we didn't talk about this, but Alan had this one outfit on with like a blue hat, and then he had like bangs sticking out the front. He looked like Adventures of Tintin. He looked so cute.
Ugh. All the outfits. They're all so amazing.
They're so good. Sure. All right. Well, Rio, good luck to you tomorrow. I hope your butthole stays loose.
Thank
You know, I hope that it's fun. I hope it's fun. At the end, I hope everybody has fun on the field. It doesn't matter who wins or loses, as long as everybody has a good time.
You know, being a 40-year-old, I do realize that, yes, that is the nice, that is the practical approach. That is the approach that I should be taking. Again, the 49ers have never given me anything. They have never paid me in any way. In fact, I have spent a lot of money to support the 49ers. There have been players that have changed. I'm basically, like they say, I'm rooting for laundry. I get all of that stuff.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that just says, well, you know, it'll be fine. Nothing will change. But I don't know, man. I'm really excited for this one. I'm really hoping it happens. As I told you, I got a T-shirt. It says Talk Purdy to me. I got a couple of sweatshirts. I'm ready to go. I'm excited.
Right. Very excited for you. But yeah, just listen. Win or lose, as long as everybody has a good time, like who cares? I'm just kidding. When the Eagles won, it was one of the best days of my life, and I've only barely liked them for like a little bit. So I get
when the Eagles won, that was one of the best days of my life. Also, I love that.
Well, then I hope tomorrow it's another best day of your life. BPNG, okay.